You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we are talking about the history of abortion in the United States.
So grab your right to privacy.
And let's get civical. Welcome to Let's Get Civical. My name is Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And today we have literally the most amazing guests that are going to like be with us for the next 50-ish minutes.
Oh my God, you guys.
For how long we ran for. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be amazing.
We moved in.
We're verklempt.
Yes.
Yes, come in.
come on, move in with us. Our guests today are Margaret Ketch and Roni Geva, and they are creators of the web series Control-Alt-Delete.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yes.
They were talking about abortion today. Heard of it? Ever heard of an abortion? Do you love it?
I love them.
Do you want to at it?
I'm pro.
Well, it's time.
It's time. So we're going to talk about like pre-Griswold, pre-Roe. We're going to talk about Griswold and talk about Roe. And then we'll talk about the current.
What the states are up, to, states right
are up to right now.
What kind of shit they're getting into.
Yeah.
The a bunch of undisciplined
of
children
abortion,
they are.
If you will.
The I
state
will.
Of abortion.
I absolutely will.
Yeah.
Arden, where are we, so where are just, we starting?
We're going to jump right in. Nosedive right into abortion. And we're going to talk about what was happening. It sounds messy.
It's a whole damn mess. I'm just like, why can't we get it together? I'm already angry. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not gonna do this.
No,
now. I'm not
good.
Gonna do this now.
It's
I'm
okay.
not gonna do this
we
now.
We wake up angry.
Yeah.
So,
and we dream angry.
Like, why are you mad? And I'm like, because this shit has been going on for so long and we can't get it together.
Literally more than a century.
Honestly.
Centuries.
It's a centuries old issue.
It is.
Women have been wanting control over their own body since they had a body.
So I pulled some information. I found this article that was super interesting about a group that was called the Jane Collective. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
Do you guys know the Jane Collective? Amazing.
This is new information for me.
I had no idea until I found this article that this was a thing. So this comes from Anna North at Fox, and she interviewed a woman who was a part of the Jane Collective back in the 60s and 70s. So the Jane Collective was founded by a group of women in Chicago. And basically, if a woman, because abortion was illegal, if a woman needed an abortion, they would call the collective, leave a message for Jane, and the people at the collective would meet with this, would meet with the woman and then counsel her and perform an abortion at a secret apartment that they called The Place.
That's crazy.
Isn't that so fucking cool?
That is. I mean, only women can pull off this shit. Yeah. That's like, why isn't there a movie about this?
They're making one right now.
Oh, wait, there is? Oh, my God. They're making it? Who, do we know who? Who's responsible?
It's a Anybody short cool? film.
Yeah, it's a short.
Oh, it's a short film. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
And you know what? I bet I can find it. But
some people are making it, and I can't wait to watch it.
Good.
Amazing.
That's like, this is some secret society shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Secret society with Catherine. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. So they would do an abortion at a secret apartment called The Place. And so Anna North from Vox interviewed Judith Arena. So she described the experience in this way. She said, quote, "For a while, we had what we called the paste, which actually looked like a tube of toothpaste. It was a Canadian product. Naturally, it was illegal to have it in the United States, but for a long time, they were able to get it from Canada.
Sad.
And so basically, they would dilute the cervix and insert the speculum, squeeze the paste into the woman's cervix, and it would
dilate,
cause a miscarriage.
Not dilute.
And dilate. Did I say dilute? Oh, my God. It's
I'm
so
literally,
hot
like,
in here.
Melting into my chair because I'm so, like, uncomfortable and upset.
I just
The paste?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it
was in the paste?
It was like a, she didn't say, it was like a, some kind of like medical, I don't know, some kind of paste that was made you have a miscarriage.
Like Drano, but for fetuses.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Feto, if you will.
Feto.
Unclog the drain.
Look, we have to find, we have to find joy somewhere. We have to find joy somewhere. It's going to be such a joyless episode.
Oh, my God. So amazing. Yeah. So then, and then what they would do, so they would insert the speculum with the paste. And then depending on how far along the pregnancy was, they would then also break the amniotic sac so that the fluid would come out.
Oh.
And like, as I'm reading this article, it's just like, I'm imagining them like just being like Handmaid's Tale in an apartment style, like all by themselves.
Is. And there's no, 100%. There's no, like, this must be painful.
Yeah.
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 So here's the thing. I've had an abortion and
likewise,
and as has Margaret. And at the time I couldn't afford the good drugs where they put you out. So
nor
they just,
it was
so,
very
so they just give you 2 extra strength Tylenol and off you go. And it's, so the process
of... Oh, I'm so sorry.
What? It's okay. I'm okay. I'm so excited to not have a child with that terrible man.
Sure, totally.
So, yeah. But here's the thing. The process of... Just the process of opening up the cervix is so incredibly painful because the cervix is like, mm-hmm. Hey, I don't want to be open right now. This is not what I do. So they have
she
to put...
boundaries.
It's like progressively larger rods of metal up your cervix to like slowly open it and open it and open it. And then they put the speculum in. And then, you know, nowadays they don't put a paste up you. They use a vacuum-like thing to just, you know, suck out the materials.
At least if you're getting a DNC.
Right. Yes. And and you know what? Even if you're in a medical procedure room with a volunteer person holding your hand and a nice nurse and a nice doctor, it is still so incredibly painful and horrible. So I can't even imagine that on top of the secrecy and the stress of doing it and knowing that at any moment someone could barge in and arrest me while this is happening in my vag.
Right.
You're at somebody's apartment who you don't know. You've called a random number who you got from someone who got from someone who got from someone. And you're going to do something illegal that you could literally go to prison for.
Right.
Which, by the way, and people are going to prison for still today.
Still. Yes. You're absolutely correct. It's insane. Yeah. It's only going to get worse as we keep talking about it. But this is it. I'm so glad that this existed for women back then, you know, that
there was like some kind of recourse.
Right. It's like you can just tell that no matter what, women are going to come together and support other women in getting what they need. But it just sucks that we're like not far away from the Jane Collective. Like,
again.
We're what? Like,
again.
Again.
Right.
You know, like we're it's been
this was 1969.
Yeah. So it's almost 50 years ago. It's just like, what? Yep.
To be fair.
And we come back.
Just so you know, these kinds of organizations already exist in the United States, which is what it is. Just so you know, because access is so difficult in so many places. And we could talk about access all the live long day.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm in several Facebook groups where I have learned about these kinds of collectives that happen.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they show up to the nameless and, you know.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
So they would break the amniotic sac and the fluid would come out. Then they would like press down on the belly just to make sure everything, you know, all the liquid and stuff came out. And then the idea is that the loss of fluid causes contraction and then causes a miscarriage. So that's how they would go about doing this. I don't know if that's how people are currently doing it now. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, in the like in these like secret collective
groups, yeah.
A lot of it now is actually the pill because a legal abortion is going to look really different than it used to because now even though it can be relatively safe to manage your own abortion with a pill, it is legally very dangerous. So
yeah,
that is really the big issue now.
Mm.
Is people going to jail? For accessing the pill somewhere else, and then
giving it to people
and administering it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it because the pill is illegal? Like what they're giving them is illegal?
No, it's that if you live in a state where you're not allowed to have an abortion after 6 weeks, and you procure a pill to administer an abortion after 6 weeks, that's illegal.
Yep. Yeah.
Got it.
And you can have the pill up until 11 weeks. So, you know, if you're in one of these states that has made it illegal and you're 9 weeks, right?
Right.
And you get a pill from somewhere, you know, then
the
person who got you the pill, you, all of that's all, you know, illegal activity. All illegal.
Yeah.
Insert part joke here.
I know we need to like have a thing that we do every time things just get super intense just to help us keep it. You know, I don't want like it's hard because I don't want to sugarcoat the issue in any way, shape or form, you know, but it's like we've got to get through this episode. And we are on section one. we're in the 60s, guys. We're in the goddamn 60s and it only gets worse.
We will just let you talk about the history without inserting all of the terrible things.
No,
it's so much more fun when you guys talk.
You guys are so wonderful. Because we got to know that these places exist.
Like we had no idea that there were like secret, you know, kind of society things like that. We didn't know that.
God bless.
I know. So I just to talk a little bit for a second about contraception and then we'll go into Griswold because.
Yeah, fun. That's fun. Contraception.
Contraception, because Griswold was about contraception, about birth control. So fun fact, condoms have been around since 3000 BC.
Of course they have. Of course they
3000 BC.
People have been not wanting babies since we could have babies.
So men have been wanting to not use condoms for a very long time.
For a very long time.
Men have like not been able to get hard when they have a condom on since 3000 BC.
When they were made from fish bladders and animal intestines.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know what I want in my vag is some fish skin. Get in there with that fish skin.
Get in there. That's what I want. And animal intestines, fuck me up, you know?
Fuck me up.
Yeah. But this is my question. How did they figure this out?
I have no idea. That was, I have no idea.
Because these are two separate things. A fish bladder and animal intestines? That's two different parts of a body.
Here's the thing. Like, if somebody wants to stick a dick in something, they're going to figure some shit out.
Totally. The ingenuity.
They will find a way to stick that dick.
I just, I imagine there was, like, you know, a caveman named Carl just, like, spearing a fish. And then he looked at it and he was like, wait a second.
But for real though, because like
this looks amazing.
I've heard so many stories about guys fucking couches and like whatever they can stick a dick in, they'll stick a dick in it. So I'm really not surprised that they tried like fish skin and animal intestines. It makes so much sense,
right?
They're like, this feels great. It's honey.
Come here, Zach.
Barb. Come here.
Well, see what I'm curious about, and this is really unrelated. I mean, it is completely related to abortion. Is when did people realize, oh, if I put my dick in a fish bladder and then I fuck my lady, then we're not going to have babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or was it for a different reason that they put their dick in the fish bladder before the vagina?
That is some dot connecting. Like, I want to know when those dots were connected.
Yeah.
Like,
listen,
was
you
it Carl?
Somebody fucked a fish and was like, that shit didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that was very contained. Very contained.
I know. Some lady was like, I don't want your mess. Figure it out. And he was like, oh, I have a fish bladder.
You know, I got just the thing. I've got just, let me go get my toolbox. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna go in my car real quick.
Just gonna unwind these intestines real quick.
Yeah, real quick. I know it looks gross. Trust me,
it's gonna be so good. We'll make haggis later. It'll be so great.
It's gonna be so great.
Yeah, it's gonna feel just a little bit different, but still so good.
So now I'm picturing
how that would feel. Okay, we can move on. That's fine.
Yeah, it's a little. It, to me, it's less about how it would feel, more about how it would smell.
Yeah,
I just made our producer gag. Yeah, that's to me. I'm like, I can't imagine a fish bladder that smells great. Maybe I'm just like,
I mean, maybe
that was
if
my
you
first thought.
It,
is
I
that
would
it
hope
smell,
they would rinse it.
Oh, it's 3,000 BC. What are you talking about?
I know they didn't know anything.
Unless
about...
they were by a river, what are we gonna do?
Well, they had to be by a river because they got
a
fish. So they got the
that's
fish.
That's a really good point.
I'm connecting the dots, guys. Connecting the dots
through. I love it. I love it. Man, it's so like good. I've been transported back. I see it. It was just like fucking surrounded by nature.
Fucking by a river.
Okay, good. I love these lighthearted subjects.
And then in the early 1800s, they were made from vulcanized rubber, the condoms. And then in 1873, Congress passed the Comstock Act that prohibited advertisements, information, and distribution of birth control and allowed the Postal Service to confiscate birth control sold through the mail.
Wow.
I know, right?
I love how there's just like a mailman just like on his route, like Kevin just being like, this like, looks...
This sounds like birth control.
Hold on.
Taking that.
I'm going to just take this back to the office. I mean, imagine like the postal system that we have now. Like, have you ever... you know? I don't know if it's like this in LA, but in New York, the post offices are the most unhappiest place on earth.
Yes. Yeah.
No one wants to be there.
Yeah, I don't want to talk shit about them because they'll come get me. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I can't imagine like on top of already having like no funding and being a horrible place and also being like, now we got to confiscate birth control.
What kind of a job is that for a postman?
It's not. The post office should not have a hand in this.
No. So then Margaret Sanger... who huge asterisk next to her because she's did some good things but was also super problematic. So she opened the first birth control clinic in the U.S. in 1916. And then the next year, 1917, she was found guilty of maintaining a public nuisance and was sent to jail for 30 days.
What is a maintaining? I feel like I'm always maintaining a public nuisance.
We are
I don't
both
understand.
Walking public nuisances.
Like, it was the clinic a public nuisance?
The clinic was a public nuisance.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought somebody was on the street like, Margaret, stop. You're so annoying.
Listen, she was a public nuisance.
That bitch was a
eugenist.
She was not a huge fan, but that was an interesting. Can you still be arrested for being a public nuisance?
Yeah.
Somebody call me.
Be a public nuisance. So after serving her time, she reopened the clinic and then continued to be arrested and prosecuted basically until 1938 when a federal judge lifted the ban on contraception, basically voiding the Comstock Act.
Man.
It's such a hard word to say.
Comstock
Act?
Comstock.
It's too many goddamn vowels that don't liaise with the
Comstock.
Yes, next to each other.
You know, because it was somebody named Jim Comstock, you know?
Yeah, but she continued to work in contraception and raised over $150,000 for research that led to the creation of the first birth control pill. And like we said, we're going to move on to Griswold and Roe, but we're going to come back and talk about her because in light of this Supreme Court case that was just decided with the Indiana law, because she is extremely problematic in that, you know, she did do a lot to put birth control out there into the U.S. system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But her reasons for doing it were...
Eugenics. A lot of eugenics, which is difficult.
Difficult.
But
and wrong.
We're putting an asterisk. Bing. We'll come back to
we're
it later.
We're going to come back and talk about her.
But we're gonna talk about Griswold now, which, I mean, I'm so new to the history of abortion, so I had never heard of Griswold. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited to talk about it. Griswold... Oh, man, this case. Griswold versus Connecticut was a 1965 Supreme Court case that ruled a Connecticut law was unconstitutional because it violated marital privacy by criminalizing the abuse of birth control. So basically, this Connecticut law, which was a law from 1879, great year, said that any person who uses any drug, medicinal, article, or instrument for the purpose of preventing contraception shall be fined not less than $40 or imprisoned not less than 60 days. I just feel like, how do you land on $40 and how do you land on 60 days?
How
like,
do you land on understand. Making sure people conceive babies all the time?
I know.
I mean,
this is very interesting to me, I think, because this was, so that means from 1879 to 1965, birth control amongst married people, oh, I mean, any people, but like, yeah. For this law, it's, you can't have a, you'd get fined $40.
At least $40.
At least, not less.
Or 60 days.
60 days
or
in jail.
Or 60 days in jail. Look, give me the 60 days, all right? It's tough out there.
I wonder if the $40 was sort of based on the average wage of sort of like an average, you know, average income, average yeah. wage. And so it was like, well, $40 is going to be like, you know, a That'll, month's worth of
yeah.
wages.
Yeah. Right. Well, if this is 1879, yeah. like that's probably.
It's a lot of money.
$200, $300?
No.
More.
You think more? We'll find out. The law continued to, the further it said that any person who assists, abets, counsels, causes, hires, or commands, Jesus Christ.
I know, right?
Oh my. Another person to commit any offense may be prosecuted and punished as if he were the principal offenders. So this is like, if you help them abort a baby or like do contraception or whatever, it's as though you did it.
You did it too. Yeah.
And I like how they list all of the ways in which you could possibly like have a hand in it. Assist, abets, counsels, causes, hires, or commands.
They really got a
thesaurus.
Well,
a command.
I know. I'll pull up my thesaurus.
What's Hold another on a way? I command one more. To use the fish intestine.
I mean,
use a fish
also,
condom.
I just don't understand how it would be possible to track this.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I mean, I guess like somebody would have to either turn you in.
Right. Like your doctor or, would, I guess.
Right.
Right. But or, then they would go to jail too.
Yeah. Estelle Griswold of Planned Parenthood was arrested for providing contraception and was fined $100 each. So that's why we have the Supreme Court case is because she ended up going against that and being like, no. And then a 7-2 decision, the court under Chief Justice Warren ruled that the law could not be enforced against married people. So this Connecticut law couldn't, that where it bars contraception, couldn't be enforced against married people because married people had marital privacy. This word privacy will come up later.
So they just want people who aren't married to have babies.
Privacy.
Right. So if yeah. you're not married,
you can have all the babies.
Then have all the babies?
Right. It doesn't doesn't yeah. really make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
It's so backwards. Like you would think that they would, if you're married, that they would want you to have babies.
Right.
I mean, right. I think it's really just like, hey, let's punish people for wanting to have unmarried
sex.
Yeah,
so it's as a deterrent.
Right.
Yes.
Because surely.
And by people, it's women.
Yes. Right. Because yeah. surely you will stop having sex. If you could get pregnant. Surely.
Yeah, never. Right.
The more babies you have, the less sex you will have.
That's true.
That's so true. And this is a good point. Even though Griswold made contraception legal for married women, single women in more than 26 states were still denied the pill.
So the court ruled 7-2 under Chief Justice Warren that the law couldn't be enforced against married people. The spirit of the First Amendment, the free speech part, the spirit of the Third Amendment, prohibition on the forced quartering of troops and the British troops in the houses of the colonists, and the Fourth Amendment, which is freedom from search and seizures, the Fifth Amendment, a bunch of them. Anyway, they all said that all embedded in all of these amendments were basically an essential right to privacy.
Which I agree with. You cannot come into my house. Without my consent. Third also, Amendment. It's right there.
Also my uterus, just in general.
Yeah. My uterus is my house.
No one can come into my uterus without my consent.
You cannot come into my house without my consent. You cannot come in. You cannot eat my food.
No. You cannot eat out
you
our
You cannot
substance.
Search and seize. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So Justice William O. Douglas said that the Bill of Rights contained penumbras. Which is like an astrological term, but it basically means just it. It's like
you said astrological term and you meant to say astronomical term.
I did. Fuck.
What's your sign? Penumbras?
I am.
I was wondering.
I'm penumbra one. Rising. My moon's in penumbra, you know?
And I'm Third Amendment rising.
In Third Amendment rising. No, I make these mistakes all the time. Love when you make them because I read the wrong word every other word.
So basically what they're saying is like, even though privacy isn't specifically enumerated in all of these amendments, there is an inherent right to privacy in the Third Amendment, because if the soldiers can't come in your house unless you say, like, inherently what they're basing that on is this, like, you know, dark region of your house is your domain. You have the right to privacy. You have the right to, like, control your own property.
Yeah. What's funny about this decision is the justices didn't all agree on where to locate the basis of their decisions. Like, they all had different ideas of, like, where this idea, like, the places that we've listed where right to privacy is. They all had, like differing, like, they agree, but they didn't agree on why they agreed, which I think is cute. So... Justice Harlan said marital privacy is protected because it has traditionally been protected by American society, which I feel like, bless up, okay? I feel like that's a stretch, but we're here.
It's always been this way, so let's keep going.
Also, here we go. since the dawn of man, since we were putting our dicks in fish bladders, it's been this way. Justice White said the fundamental right to marital privacy was a liberty under the Due Process Clause and is protected by the 14th Amendment. I'm like, all right, I'm with you. I'll read the 14th Amendment. And then Justice Goldberg, Warren, and Brennan felt that the penumbras in the 9th and 14th Amendments contained the right to privacy. Did everybody write an opinion on this?
There were so many. They couldn't agree on, like, where to place it, but they all basically were like, no, it's there, it's there, it's there, it's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I swear to God, it's there. But if you I just can't really place it where, but if you just go. There you are. And as we said, this did not apply to single women. Hey-o! Shout out to me. Okay. a little more history having to do with Griswold. In 1960, the FDA approved the first contraceptive pill called Invoid. Very exciting. Not a great name, but we're here. In 1968, the FDA approved IUDs.
I was surprised. I did not realize that IUDs had been around for that long.
And have been perfectly safe this whole time. And there was just so much misinformation.
We love misinformation. We just love it.
Misinformation is the queen of all information.
I know. I love that. Misinformation is the Alexander Hamilton of the Founding Fathers.
Name. Preach.
Yeah. In 1970, women wanted safer birth control, so they fought Congress to change the formula requirements and to add a package insert containing information. Women getting shit done. They're like, I want to know what's in this.
I want to know what's in my birth control. Tell me.
Like, I hate that we had to, like, knock, knock, ding, dong to get, like, the recipe to what we have to put in our bodies to not have a child that we don't want to have. Amazing.
Amen.
In 1972, SCOTUS ruled in Baird versus, Einstadt. There we are. That birth control was legal for all citizens, not just married people.
In 1972,
they were like, actually, all people, single women, why don't you give this a try?
Also, can we just talk about the fact that women have just been carrying the burden of all the stupid side effects of birth control for this whole time?
Yep.
Because the one time they did a trial with men, those poor little fuckers were like, I don't feel good. I can't.
I'm literally currently on my period, guys.
Bless
Yay!
Up.
Yay! Sorry. Wait, Kate, you are? Kate and I are in sync. Yeah, I'm literally day one, y'all.
Day one.
It's really day two that's the special day.
For you? For me, day one and two, I'm just like, oh, wow, I'm going to die. It's amazing. Okay, last fun, not fun fact. None of this is fun. Last history, last fact about timeline. Okay. Throughout the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, methods of birth control continued to expand to different kinds of IUDs, implants, Plan B, and pills with different hormone levels. So, and I feel like it's still evolving. Yeah. Like we've certainly not, I mean, now there's the shot. You can put a bar in you. You can do so much. It's crazy.
Yep. And here I am still taking my little pill.
Yeah, I'm a pill girl too.
I'm a pill girl. So then going just like right back to our notes, because whatever. Why not? So after Griswold, the next major court case is Roe v. Wade. And it was 1970. The defendant was known then as Jane Roe, and she was seeking an abortion in Texas.
Best of luck.
But it was prohibited. Abortions were prohibited by state law, except in cases where the life of the mother was at risk. So she filed a federal action against the attorney general of the district where she lived, this guy Henry Wade. I love that she was like, I'm not messing with the county. I'm not messing with the state.
Go straight for the source.
This motherfucker.
Henry Wade.
And she claimed that she had an absolute right to terminate her pregnancy. No questions asked.
Yes, you do, honey.
SCOTUS disagreed with Roe's assertion that she had such a right, but attempted to balance a woman's right to privacy with the state's interest in regulating abortion, close quote, which, like, tell me how a state has any interest in regulating an abortion. Like, what is the state's interest in that?
Control.
I mean, it depends on the state.
Power. Hold on. Can I? It's also it. Because.
Yes. Yeah, get please. Chip.
When women have unwanted pregnancies.
That or when anybody with a uterus.
Thank you. When someone has a baby, then often there's now studies, and I actually have one pulled up on my phone that'll show that if it was an unwanted pregnancy, their economic sort of struggle continues. And they do not sort of elevate in socioeconomic ranks or whatever, which means that by controlling abortions, you are able to control creating and sustaining and maintaining a working class.
Yeah.
And that's some shit.
Wow. That is some shit. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So the court placed the point after which a state's compelling interest in the pregnant woman's health would allow it to regulate an abortion at approximately the end of the first trimester of pregnancy, where the fetus was capable of meaningful life outside the mother's womb or viability. And then after Roe, there were some more cases that kind of elaborated on the scope of Roe and defined the situation a little bit more. So Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey in 92, the Supreme Court established that restrictions on abortion were unconstitutional if they place an undue burden on a woman seeking an abortion before the fetus is viable. Right. Like, so what the fuck is an undue burden?
Yeah.
And who gets to decide that and why? And
right.
Why?
Right. Yeah. Right. Like my version of an undue burden is going to be completely different from anybody else's.
Well, no, all women are the same.
Right, I forgot.
I wish you would get that correct.
So sorry.
Ugh. All women are the same. We all have the same feelings. We all do the same thing.
And we all live in the same kind of city.
Yeah.
With the same kind of access.
We all feel. Love it.
Yeah, and that's a term that gets thrown around a lot, undue burden.
Undue burden, yeah.
Not clearly defined. And then in 2016, very recently, Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt, the court invoked this previous decision in Casey, the one that laid the undue burden claim, to strike down two provisions of a Texas law that had required abortion clinics to meet the standards of ambulatory surgical centers and abortion doctors to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. So those were two ways that the state of Texas was trying to trap laws. Yeah, like trying to regulate abortion without regulating abortion.
Right.
So that's just a quick little synopsis of Roe v. Wade and some recent decisions.
Yeah, it's...
It's hard to believe that it goes downhill from here.
Yeah, it goes downhill because now we're going to go state by state and talk about the new bills that have been introduced recently. A lot of these we've heard about. Some of these I didn't know about. And it's just, there's like 10 here.
There's so many. Like, I started looking them up and it's like, okay, it's like half the country are making these fucking laws.
Yeah, it's great. A lot. So we're going to start in Arden's home state of Ohio.
So sorry.
In Ohio, abortion is banned once a fetal heartbeat is detected.
So that's not a heartbeat. Around.
Can we talk
not
about just, right, just right. for a second?
It's not yeah.
a heartbeat. Let's talk about how it's more accurate to say cardiac activity than the heartbeat, but people get real pissed off if you talk about that. Like really, really mad because they're like, I heard my baby's heartbeat at 5.5 weeks. And I want to be like,
not
y'all,
a heartbeat.
It's not a fully formed heart. It is not pumping blood to all extremities. It's not a heart yet. You are hearing the beginning of cardiac activity. Yay. Don't anthropomorphize this shit.
Right, fair. Because there's no way that like if you took that the fetus out of the mother that it's it would survive.
A, no,
it's not
it's
an
about,
organ.
It's about this big.
It's right. a grain like of rice.
Yeah.
So valid. That's such a valid point that you're absolutely right that these are called heartbeat bills and there is no actual organ.
But it's called heartbeat bills so that people think, oh my God, they're
it's
babies.
A heart.
They're
well,
babies.
Yeah, it's all emotionally it's manipulative. Babies. All of this is emotionally manipulative 100%. To make you think that like the cluster of cells that are forming are human, have like not human, but like are a person,
right?
You know,
they personhood.
Have, it's like murder. You
I
know?
Have to say that there's a woman who posted on Facebook and she said something about, you know, these poor
on our page.
No, just on her own wall, just about the immigrant situation at the border and how ICE is detaining these children in horrible ways. And then she said, where are you pro-lifers now? And literally someone like, here are these living, breathing children suffering.
Yeah.
If you're so pro-life, well, where are you? And literally someone in her comments said, I don't understand how this has anything to do with pro-life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because, it's like it's pro-life until it's out of the womb.
Right. So it's actually like pro
and then it's like
pro-birth.
If you're pro-life, you would want better education.
Yeah,
you would want to solve the homelessness crisis in our country. You would want to raise, you know, like deal with the poverty
healthcare.
Issue that we have. And we would want health care for everybody. You know, it's like it's like it only goes as far as once it gets out of the womb. And then it's like, oh, well, we can't invest more in, you know, children in elementary school being able to have free lunches.
Right. It's your own fault you got pregnant. You should have been not a slut.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. Pro-life is an interesting term. It's an interesting term. But yeah, so in Ohio, abortion is banned once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which is as early as 5 weeks, which is basically you've just found out that you're pregnant. The law will take effect in July unless blocked in the court. The law is currently being challenged in court by the ACLU, so we'll see more
on
that.
We'll see what happens with that. Kentucky, a judge has temporarily blocked a heartbeat bill from going into effect. The governor, Matt Bevin, signed the legislation in March banning abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. But yeah, the ACLU is similar to Ohio. The ACLU is challenging it in court, and the judge stopped it from going into effect.
In Indiana, the state has signed two laws this year. The first is banning dilation and evacuation in some cases, a common method used in second trimester abortions. And the second, allowing medical professionals to choose not to perform abortions. So that's those are two laws. So banning the dilation and evacuation, and then also allowing medical professionals to be like, I don't want to do an abortion.
Yeah.
And then also in Indiana, there are exceptions for women who would suffer substantial and irreversible physical damage from continuing the pregnancy. So it's that thing of like, you can do this if the life of the mother is threatened. And then it's like, but what is life of the mother threatened mean? That's like, you know,
right.
The life of the mother can be threatened if she has a
child. And
here's
what kind of blows my mind. And here's what I think is such hypocrisy. If someone actually believes that it's murder and that you're actually killing a child by having an abortion, they shouldn't make an exception for anything because they're saying that life is just as important as the mother's life. And so that's really hypocritical to me, and the fact that they're saying that means to me they actually know that it's not the same, but they just want to control everybody.
Another state we know very much about, this one, so I'm just gonna quickly touch on it because it's very upsetting. Alabama currently has the nation's most restrictive abortion ban, with absolutely no exceptions, zero exceptions for rape or incest. It makes it a felony for Alabama doctors to perform or attempt to perform an abortion. The only exception made under the law is for cases in which the life of the mother is endangered by her pregnancy. And this was signed by Governor Kay Ivey. It has not been taken into effect. It is being challenged in the courts by the ACLU and Planned Parenthood. Yeah, it's happening in Alabama. It's an absolute catastrophe and a literal human rights violation. Okay, Georgia.
Georgia.
You want to take on Georgia?
Sure. In Georgia, the state passed a fetal heartbeat bill, banned abortion. They passed it in May. Like Ohio and Kentucky, it bans abortions as soon as a heartbeat can be detected. The state currently bans abortions after the 20-week mark, but in light of the new law, an abortion could be banned as early as 6 weeks. The bill would take effect next year unless it's blocked by the courts. Again, ACLU rising to the challenge.
Is very busy.
Plans to challenge it.
Guys, if you can donate to the ACLU, you can set up a monthly donation, and it's I donate to the ACLU on a monthly basis, and I don't have to think about it. It's just set up. They are doing the work. They're doing the work. So please donate to the ACLU. We'll put a link on our Twitter.
May we also recommend the National Network of Abortion Funds for your donations?
Yes.
We love.
We'll put that up too.
We'll put up a bunch of resources for you guys to look at in ways that you can help support women's right to their own body. Next up is Arkansas. Arkansas has an abortion ban after 18 weeks into pregnancy with some exceptions. The exceptions are rape, incest, and medical emergencies. The state also passed a law in February that would automatically make abortion illegal in Arkansas if Roe v. Wade were overturned. So these are called trigger bills, which essentially mean that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade and it's left up to the states to decide if abortion's legal state by state, immediately it's illegal in Arkansas.
There's a few others that are.
And this was signed into law by Governor Asa Hutchinson and is scheduled to go. But the ACLU has vowed to sue, so the ACLU is doing the work.
Rising to the challenge.
Shout out to the ACLU, busybodies.
Missouri, the state has banned abortion at 8 weeks in the state. The law takes effect on August 28th, but more legal challenges are expected.
Yep. In Mississippi, the state passed a heartbeat abortion bill this year, slated to take effect July 1st, which was blocked by a federal judge. The law was challenged in court by the Center of Reproductive Rights, and Judge Carlton Reeves, an Obama appointee, said it smacks of defiance. Oof.
Yep.
Buzzwords.
Yep.
And that was signed into law by Governor Phil Bryant. That was Mississippi.
And then in Utah, Utah approved a ban on abortions in the state after 18 weeks, with some exceptions. A federal judge blocked the state from enforcing the law while it's being challenged in court by the ACLU and Planned Parenthood. The law creates penalties for doctors who perform abortions after 18 weeks of pregnancy.
In North Dakota, the abortion method commonly used in the second trimester, known as dilation and evacuation, is banned in the state. Abortion rights advocates are considering filing a lawsuit over a law that would require a clinic to read a script about reversing medical abortions. So this is one of those things that places try to do where they try to be like, it's like the same thing as like, let me show you a ultrasound before you decide to get an abortion.
Right.
Or let me tell you that it causes breast cancer or other giant lies. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a common fear tactic used to be like, are you sure you want this? Blah, 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 blah.
You couldn't possibly know your own mind.
Yeah, whereas like if a man wants to go and get a vasectomy, it's like, great, and just fill out this form here. And
yeah, but if a woman wants to get her tubes tied, doctors can deny her if they think that she might want babies in the future. Like, I actually have heard stories from several women who are like,
you know, those soothsayer doctors who are like, actually,
yes,
show me your palm.
Basically, there are women, I know women in their 20s who've gone to get their tubes tied, and the doctor's been like, no, but you might want kids later.
And they're like, no, 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 we absolutely do not. And they will not tie their tubes.
It's real fucked up. That's,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That is insane.
I mean, go to the next doctor. Right. Eventually, hopefully, you will find someone. But the fact happens is astonishing.
So in Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee in May signed a trigger law that would make abortion illegal if Roe v. Wade was overturned or altered.
I love that. I love that so much. Over Texas. Guess what Texas is up to?
Horrible shit.
Governor Greg Abbott,
the
worst, is expected to sign an abortion bill that would punish any doctor who failed to treat an infant that survived an abortion procedure.
Because this is a thing. I love that they're like making up things that don't happen to be like, this is how much we love the unborn.
Right.
This is how much.
This is like,
it's like, fuck off.
Put in people's minds that like, fetuses survive abortion.
Yeah, right.
Right. Well, this is feeding that this horrible lie that women abort like 9-month-old babies.
Right.
You know, like as though they
for
are
funsies.
Before 20
yeah,
weeks.
It's
like if you are if you're a woman who is like having to terminate a pregnancy that is that late into your pregnancy, it means you will die.
Or they
like,
will die.
Or
they will die. And
or,
it's so
yeah,
sad.
Or they will die. A death will happen. Yeah. And it is the biggest tragedy. But women aren't going in there and being like, actually, this isn't for me. I'm so sorry. Like, that's not what's happening. But that is the message that is being spread, that babies are being, quote unquote, as our president said, ripped from the womb. And that is not what's happening. And bills like this perpetuate this absolute false information that this is what abortion is. It is. That's not happening.
No, it's not.
Anyways, that's Texas. Wait, let's see. I have one more bullet point here.
Yep.
Oh, it also passed a bill, Texas, eliminating exceptions for the state's ban on abortion after 20 weeks. Current exceptions had allowed for an abortion if the fetus is unviable or has severe and irreversible abnormalities, which critics say could lead to discriminatory abortions. So if the fetus will die, we're discriminating against it. You
lovely.
Know.
Just... You know,
I love that.
Yep.
I really hate dead people.
Fuck.
I'm going to discriminate against dead people all the live long day. Here we go.
all goddamn day.
Yep. And then in New York, this is a good one.
This is a good one. We got New York, Illinois, and Nevada bringing up the good news.
Yeah. Doing good things.
So in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill that protects access to abortion. Even if Roe v. Wade was overturned, the law decriminalizes abortion and allows some late-term abortions in cases where the fetus is not viable or when necessary to protect the mother's life. Look at that. Look
Bless
at us being
up.
Reasonable
over
hard.
Here. It's not that hard.
Damn.
Perfect sense.
Yep.
And then finally, we're going to round out. There's so many other abortion bills that are happening throughout the country that are similar to heartbeat bills, and there are also states, like we said, like Illinois, that are doing things to like actually help women. So these are just some that we've selected. So the last one we're going to talk about is Vermont. In Vermont, Governor Phil Scott is expected to sign a bill making abortions a fundamental right, approved by both houses and Senate. Approved by both the House and the Senate, it would recognize as a fundamental right of the freedom of the reproductive choice and prohibit public entities from interfering with or restricting the right of an individual to terminate the individual's pregnancy.
Yeah. What I love about... I know, it's good. Phil Scott, also a Republican.
Republican. They can do it too.
Hey. Nicely done, Republican
we can be
person.
All, we can all be on the same team. We can all be
crossing.
On the same team.
I know.
We can
all can
be
I
on
just
the
say,
same
I,
team.
I think...
Yes, of course.
One of the things that one of our dear friends is the head of Planned Parenthood of the San Gabriel Valley. And
In Pasadena.
And one of the things that we just heard her speak on a panel that was so informative and incredible. And she said, you know, when you look at a law like Love is Love, right, where you marry who you wanna, right? The way it happened was state by state. It became legal in various states, right? It became legal in Hawaii, and then it was legal in New Hampshire, and then it was, you know, and like, and state by state, until there was a quorum of states, and then it went to the Supreme Court, and it was like, well, public opinion says that this is a thing that, you know, the whole country is strongly approving of, so yes, let's have you be able to marry whoever you love, right? Mm-hmm. In the case of Roe v. Wade, what happened was abortion was illegal, and then overnight, abortion was legal. There was no sort of growing momentum of understanding.
Although 70% of people do approve Roe v. Wade.
Yes. So it
totally.
Is hugely
yeah.
in the public opinion. So abortion is totally, you know, in in an approval sort of state of mind with a very silent majority, unfortunately. But I think, and what she was alluding to is that because it was sort of this overnight decision, there wasn't the sort of growing tidal wave of approval that then had the people understand like, oh, okay, I might not be pro-choice myself, but I'm pro-choice for other people.
Right.
In the way like,
I can like understand that other people want
to I don't want to marry a woman, but I understand if other women want to marry women.
Totally.
Right? Sort of that equivalence.
That makes sense. So let's round out with this final Supreme Court case that
SCOTUS
just ruled on.
Yeah.
So this was what, just 2-3 weeks ago? It's a really curious case. Arden's going to talk about it, and then I'm going to talk about the reason why I want to talk about it. And that's what we're going to do.
So it's Box versus Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky. And there were two kind of major decisions. One, SCOTUS upheld the Indiana. Oh, my God. I cannot talk.
Indiana.
Indiana law signed by Mike Pence when he was governor of the state. And they upheld the portion of the law regarding the disposal of fetal tissue, fetal remains, that basically just said, like, it has to be buried or cremated, and that the abortion provider can do it and should do it unless the woman wants to make those provisions on her own, but that it cannot be disposed of in the same manner as, like, medical waste. Like, you can't dispose of it in the same way that you would, like, a syringe or whatever else.
Makes me so mad.
I know. The second part of the court case, they didn't uphold. They denied the petition, and it's the portion of the case that dealt with abortions being barred abortions if they thought that the woman was having an abortion based on the idea that they didn't like the race, sex, or possible disability that a potential child may have. And so basically it was like selective abortion. Then the court turned that part of the petition away.
So the appellate court had ruled that they had reversed Mike Pence's law that said that you could ban abortions for this. And they were like, actually, no, you can't. You can't ban abortions for this thing. And the Supreme Court was like, great, that will stand, what the appellate court ruled. Yeah. And so the reason why I wanted to bring this up is something that was brought to my attention because there were a couple of the justices wrote opinions, and Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a concurring opinion that I found very, I think, telling of. To me, it was like he was trying to give pro-life activists the answers to the test of, like, this is how you should pursue abortion regulations. And he, in his concurring opinion, he addressed the fetal sort of waste remains issue and being like, this is why the state has a vested interest in human remains, basically, was the argument. And then he decided to address the second part of what the court didn't decide to hear, which was basically like he was equating this law, this, like, you can, it's legal for you to get an abortion regardless of how, whatever you want to get an abortion for. And he equated that to the eugenics movement, which is why we're going to bring back our friend Margaret.
Not me, the different one.
Margaret Sanger.
Oh, sorry.
Margaret Sanger.
We got it.
Margaret Sanger, sorry. I'm so sorry. Because I read his opinion today, and I encourage people to read it because it's really, to me, I'm like, this is probably going to be one of the future arguments that are done in front of the Supreme Court. He quotes her so much because she was a huge proponent of eugenics. For those of you who don't know, the eugenics movement was basically a movement where people were trying to create, like, the strongest type of society, which, like, generally meant educated white people. Like, that was the ideal society. And so Margaret Sanger wanted to use birth control to go into communities of color and try to regulate their population with birth control. And that was a part of the eugenics movement. And she was a huge fan of it. So in his opinion, he says, and I quote, given the potential for abortion to become a tool of eugenic manipulation, the court will soon need to confront the constitutionality of laws like Indiana's. And basically saying, it was interesting because he was like, this is not the case to bring to, like, rule on, but eventually we are going to have to rule on, like, what the restrictions are of abortion, because abortion could potentially be used to determine, like,
or to create a master race,
to discriminate against minorities, to discriminate
gender
against,
and boys and girls and
gender, yeah. Income levels, yeah. Yeah. What I did want to point out that he ended the opinion with was this quote, which I thought was very, very interesting for me, because this is Clarence Thomas, who is arguably the most conservative justice on the Supreme Court and very anti-abortion, but he ended his opinion with this quote. Although the court declines to wade into these issues today, we cannot avoid them forever. Having created the constitutional right to an abortion, this court is duty-bound to address its scope. In that regard, it is easy to understand why the District Court and the Seventh Circuit looked to Casey, which is a
the one we talked about earlier.
To resolve a question it did not address. Where else could they turn? The Constitution itself is silent on abortion. Now, obviously, I don't agree that the Constitution itself is silent on abortion. Like, yeah, literally, it's silent on
abortion.
Exactly,
that's
the point. But it's
also
literally silent on everything.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's silent on so many things. I'm like, internet privacy? Silent. Like, literally, there's so many things. But what I want to point out is that he decides to word it, having created the constitutional right to an abortion, the court is duty-bound to address its scope. So he's not saying, in his opinion, that we have to address the legality of giving an of abortion.
Right.
It's like we've established it. Now we have to establish the regulations of it. So I thought that was super interesting because you have these, you have people who are trying to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is the constitutionality of abortion itself. Ooh, I just hit the mic. And he's like, we have to super regulate it. Which I think is a different approach.
Right.
Than
he's not
seen.
He's not opening the door to overturning Roe v. Wade. He's saying let's define this process more.
Yeah. Which I mean, eventually could probably lead to people like heartbeat bills being the, the constitutional norm for sure. And that itself is like making abortion illegal.
Right.
It was just to equate it to the eugenics movement was not something that I had ever considered or like put two and two together.
It's really manipulative.
It's
really
very,
it's very
Cersei of him. If you read the opinion, and like I said today, and I'll be quite honest, every woman should have the right to an abortion, to a safe, free, like access abortion. But it was very interesting to me to be like, yeah, I understand what you're saying about the eugenics movement. I understand that like this could be used to be a proponent of the eugenics movement,
mm-hmm.
but like you're making it so micro and like, and that like that is the only reason people would use abortion, which is like not even true at all.
It's a masterful tact in like usurping the conversation and misdirecting, you know, the attention of, you know, making you look at the shiny thing while all of this other stuff is happening over here. It's actually quite intelligent
because also,
and masterful.
Like with the eugenics movement, you have to take into consideration that the eugenics movement targeted especially the Black community.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have to take into consideration, yeah, that's extremely, extremely discriminatory. And yes, me, a person who I feel is very progressive and liberal minded and inclusive, it's like I would never, like that's like the worst case scenario is to have something that targets people based on their color. That's horrendous. And that's what he's arguing that abortion could do.
Yeah.
You know, is that it could target communities of color. It could target Black women. And it could be a proponent in this movement to create the master race, which is white and educated and, you know, middle class.
Except that the people who have the hardest time getting access to abortion are people of color.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. But anyways. I know.
Yeah.
It's quite the read. It was it's not what I expected to come out of this Supreme Court ruling. I think it was telling that they decided not to take up this part of the bill. I think that is a small victory for the abortion movement because if they're not hearing the case, that means that they're not interested in like that they don't believe that there's anything there that will convince them to overturn anything.
Yeah.
So that's good for now. But that's abortion. That's the history of abortion in our country. It is not a resolved issue by any stretch of the imagination. In 6 months, we'll do another episode with you guys and we'll talk about what's changed.
Surprise, not
what
much.
New states. What states are up to no good now? You know, because there's gonna be more. We're not done. We're not done at all. But thank you guys.
Thanks for having us.
So incredibly much.
Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely amazing.
This is so fun.
Can you tell people where they can find
our pro-choice comedy?
So right now, you can find Control-Alt-Delete at vimeo.com/channels/Control-Alt-Delete-show. And we spell it CTRLALTDELETE.com.
Not.com.
And we will put a link.
Control Alt Delete Show.
We will post
show. ControlDeleteShow.com. You guys, let's just do this over.
ControlAltDeleteShow.com. Don't worry. If you're like, I want to find it, I'm going to put the links up on our Twitter and on our Instagram. You guys, it's so amazing. You guys are so,
guys
amazing.
Are so amazing.
We're so
lucky
grateful.
To know
Likewise.
You and to connect with you and that you're doing incredible
Thank
work.
You.
You know,
so good.
We women have to stick together and support each other and keep fighting for each other's right to your own body.
Yes.
I mean, that's really what it is.
Yep. For anybody with a uterus.
Yes. And
anybody
for
with
our
a uterus.
Right to take up space.
Our right to take up space. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And on that note, this has been Let's Get Civical. Guys, we love you so, so much. Yes. If you like us, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can rate us. You can review us. You can subscribe. We love you. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Yes.
Bye.